So we're going to look at a very famous parable this morning. I'm sure you know this parable already. I'm not sure what we should call the parable. Many times it is referred to as the parable of the sower. Sometimes it's referred to as the parable of the seed. I wonder if it should be called the parable of the different types of ground. You can decide as we go through. Let's read this parable. It's in Luke chapter 8. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he had said this, Jesus called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And Jesus said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." And he went on to say, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Now let's just check that we know what we're talking about. So what is a parable? Who wants to give me a definition of a parable? What is a parable? So a parable is a story, often with lots of characters, that illustrates a principle. Great, okay. It's a story with a meaning. Okay? But it's important that you don't hear the story and add your own meaning. You need to ask yourself, what is God saying through this? Now, this particular parable, for convenience, I'll call it the parable of the sower. This particular parable is in all three of the synoptic gospels. Okay, what's the synoptic gospel? So you've got the four gospels. Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. The word synoptic, sin, together, optic, seeing. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they see things together, see things similarly. The Gospel of John looks at things slightly differently. But my point is that three out of the four Gospels record this parable. It gives us some sense of how important all the Gospel writers consider this parable to be. Now, in this parable, there are four scenarios or four variations. Did you pick up what those four variations were. Well, first of all, let me say, are there four varieties of sower? No, there's only one sower. Are there four varieties of seed? No. Are there four varieties of ground? Yes. What are those four varieties of ground? Well, we'll list them. There's the path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. Okay, and what do the four types of soil represent? I would say they represent four types of people, or more specifically, four types of human hearts. And if you look at verses 12 and verses 15, let me read you verse 12, we see the actual word heart. So verse 12 says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. Okay, and then in verse 15 we read, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. I think, Divine, you spoke about persevering a few minutes ago, right? So this raises the question, what do we mean by our hearts? Are we talking about the human organ containing four valves that pumps blood and oxygen around the human body? I don't think so. The Greek word cardia, which is translated here as heart, could also mean heart, mind, seat of thought and emotion, inner self, composed of life, soul, mind and spirit. Or what I often refer to as, because I like things simple, right? The real me, deep inside the visible me. That is the place where I feel hurt, right? The place where I feel anxiety. You know what I'm talking about? That inner person. The place where I can experience joy on occasions, but also sorrow at times. The place where you might feel hope, but equally you might feel fear. That place where you sigh a sigh of relief at times, or where you have that niggling feeling of regret. The human heart is the place that can be full of peace or full of anxiety. Now, we started by saying that the parable could be called the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, or the parable of the different types of ground. I'd like somehow, if we were to give it a title that would reflect the four types of people, or better still, the four types of human heart. Let's have a look at the text, if you've got your Bibles with you, and we'll just go through verse by verse. So verse 4 tells us, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. What we notice here is that lots of people were coming. Lots and lots and lots of people. Lots of people heard the parable, but here's the question. Did they all pause to think about the meaning? They heard the story, but did they think to ask Jesus, what do you mean by the story? And Jesus' parable starts like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. Do you have a problem when you listen to this parable? Don't you think, silly sower? I mean, why throw seed on the path? Why sow, throw seed among thorns? Why sow seed among rocky places? And if you think about the way our farms are organized today, where you would have a road going through a farm, it would be maybe as wide as pretty wide. So it would be pretty easy to say, well, yeah, don't chuck seed on the road. It's not going to grow. Don't put seed on the dual carriageway. It won't grow. But I doubt if the farms were so well organized back in the day. And the path might have been a path that sort of evolves over time as people are walking and they're treading down the earth. And thorns come up in different places and rocks are amongst good soil. And so maybe the easiest and most efficient way for the farmer was to throw seed everywhere. But if you were to talk to a farmer today, they would say, I wouldn't do that because seed costs money. And if I want to get a good return on the investment, I need to be efficient in the way I plant the seed. But did you notice that the interpretation of the parable tells us that the seed is the word of God? And here I want to ask a question. Do we need to be efficient and cautious and cost-effective as we sow the word of God? Is there a shortage of the word of God? I'm not talking about a shortage of printed Bibles in China, for example. I'm talking about the word of God, the eternal word of God. There is no shortage of the word of God. But there is a shortage of receptive hearts. That's the thing. And there is a shortage of people to go out and sow the seed amongst receptive and unreceptive hearts, because you never know which is going to be the receptive heart. We'll look at what the four types of soil represent in a moment. But if we go down out of the second part of verse 8, when Jesus had said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So what does he mean by this? Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, the Greek word here, and I'm not good at pronouncing, but something like akoua. And this word here means to hear, but also to pay attention, to understand, to obey. So you see, it's not enough. This is what Jesus is saying. It's not enough to just hear. If you've got ears, don't just hear. Pay attention. Understand. Obey. And verse 9 is so key. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. Please look back at verse 4 from the very beginning. Who heard this parable? We get it in verse 4. A large crowd. A large crowd heard the parable, but who asked Jesus for more information? Who dug deeper into the word of God? Who said, Lord, you're saying something, I'm struggling to understand it. Speak to my heart. Help me to understand this. What does it mean? Who was it that asked for more information in this account? Verse 9, it was the disciples. It was the disciples. That word, of course, means students, followers, committed learners, perhaps even apprentice. So we have to ask the question, what differentiates a disciple from just anyone in the crowd? Because we've got the crowd, that's massive, right? And we've got this small group of disciples. According to this text, what differentiates a disciple from one of the crowd? It is the one who hears the word of God and asks God, what does it mean? Ask for more detail, digs deeper. And in verse 10, we read that Jesus says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. You see, the disciples sought the truth, and because they sought the truth, that in a sense defines them as disciples, and they received answers. People outside the church might say, well, I haven't understood the truth, but have you inquired about the truth? And what we notice is that this is not just a story. This isn't a fairy tale, right? This is in the text there, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on in verse 11 and he says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. I'll say that again because I was getting croaky. The seed is the word of God. And this word that means word is actually from the Greek word logos. And the interesting thing is it's the same word that we find in that chapter from John's Gospel that we so often read at Christmas in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Where we read that the Logos of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is to say, the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, of course, referring to Jesus coming to earth. So when Jesus says the meaning of the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God, when we think about this word seed, we've got to think about the spoken word of God, the written word of God, and Jesus, the eternal word of God. Let's move on to verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Let me ask you a question. Raise your hands if the answer is yes. Do you believe in Jesus? You must. You must. Okay, pop them down because there's another question. Do you believe in the devil? Put up your hands. You must. You must believe in the devil. But you must follow Jesus. And be aware that the devil wants to snatch the word of God from your heart. Believe in Jesus and embrace him and welcome him. Be aware, be cautious of the devil who will take this word of life from your heart. You know what? There's actually only two choices regarding the word of God. You either allow Satan to snatch it away, the devil to snatch it away, or you ask God to speak into your heart and you study the word and you dig deeper. There's only two options. Which are you going to follow? Then verse 13, we move on to the definition of the rocky ground. Jesus says, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. Again, Divine, you spoke about this earlier on, right? Are you being a disciple? Are you asking questions? Are you digging deep into the word of God? Are you welcoming Jesus, who is the Word? This is why we do Bible study on a Sunday morning and at other times throughout the week. Let me tell you, if you are not digging deep into the Word of God, this parable tells you that you are on rocky ground. Yeah, you're on rocky ground. Let's move on to the next verse, 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but As they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. Raise your hands if you can understand why worries might choke your walk with the Lord. Anyone ever had that experience of worries? Anyone? Okay. We actually live in a pretty wealthy part of the world. Some of us have come from pretty difficult places, but right here, how many of us are aware that riches can choke our desire to get into the Word of God? Raise your hands if you will. What about pleasures? How many of you think that pleasures, even the one who loves their sport or loves certain experiences, I'm not saying sport's wrong or experiences are wrong, but we've got to get these into context. And Jesus says that there's plenty of people for whom the Word of God is choked. You know what that means, choking, yeah? It means they can't breathe, yeah? Choked because of worries, riches, and pleasures. Okay. But then in verse 15 we read, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word. Well, of course, actually, they've all heard the word, yeah? It's not because they heard the word, but it's what they did with it. Read the verse, yeah? Who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Many of you nowadays, when you buy things, you just say to the shop, give me the receipt on an email or something. So you don't have that little paper one, right? I still like the paper ones. But the thing is, if you've got the paper one, you've got to retain it. Yeah, if you think you might need to bring the product back, you need to retain it. So you put it somewhere safe, like in your wallet, in your pocket, or whatever. What about the Word of God? Are we going to hear the Word and put it somewhere safe? Or are we going to hear the word and just leave it lying around in the glove compartment of the car? We'll never find it when we need it. We've got to put the Word of God in a safe place. Where is that safe place? We talked about it earlier. It is the heart, right? The heart. Today, as you know, we are celebrating harvest. And I want to ask you a question. Have you thought about harvest? Can we think for a moment about harvesting wheat? Obviously, there's lots of different kind of products that are harvested, but think about wheat for a moment. We had a picture of wheat earlier on. Would you harvest wheat in the sunshine or in the rain? In the sunshine. Why? Because you've got to store it. And it's got to be dry, right? Now, I imagine with modern methods that it might be possible that they have some kind of way to dry damp grain once they've got it into the barn. But that's going to cost a lot of money, right? It's going to be energy intensive. Back in the day, you needed to cut the corn when the sun was shining. And think about it, cereal boxes. They have pictures of what? They have pictures of sunshine and golden grain on the boxes, yeah? But what about sowing? What about sowing? Do you sow seeds at the height of summer when the sun is shining? Of course you don't. You sow seeds when the ground is wet so that the seeds can germinate. Why am I saying this to you? Because when you sow seeds on a cold, wet, damp day, you have to sow them in faith that the harvest will come, that the sun will come. If you were a farmer, you may not feel like going out in the cold and the wet to sow seeds. Think about it, you've got to get up maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning. Outside it's cold, it's dark, it's damp, but it's warm and it's cozy, where? Under the duvet, right? Are you going to get up and go out and sow seeds? Is it really worth it, you ask? Will it pay off? How can I know? But the whole point is that you sow in faith that the sun will come, that the plants will grow, and that there will be a good harvest. And so it is exactly the same with faith in Jesus. And so it is with the gospel. In fact, I've put a verse up there for you. Hebrews 11, verse 1 tells us, faith, this is a definition of faith, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's the whole point. Don't expect faith in Jesus to be easy. Someone said that this morning already. Faith is about believing in what you cannot see. But what is the gospel? How would you express the gospel? I've come up with a few ideas based on a few verses, based on Romans chapter 3. Perhaps we could say that the gospel is this: the fact that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is bad news, and that everyone can be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ, which is, of course, good news. Or to put it another way, based on Romans chapter 6, we could say that the wages of sin is death, which is bad news. But if people will humbly turn to Jesus, God will give them his special gift, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Or if you want me to say it in a different way, based on Ephesians chapter 2, we could say, you cannot be saved by your own effort or your so-called good works, which may seem like bad news if you're proud and think you're a good guy. But the good news is, you can be saved by grace through faith, which is a gift from God that you can receive from him. So as we draw to a conclusion, let me ask this question: how will you respond to this message this morning? This parable of the four types of people. This parable of the four types of human heart. What type of heart will you choose to develop? Will you allow the devil to come and take away the word of God from your heart so that you may not believe and be saved? Will you receive the word of God superficially and for a fleeting moment with joy when you hear it, but have no root? That is to say, will you believe for a while, but in the time of testing, fall away? Someone mentioned testing just earlier. Will you allow yourself to be choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures so that you do not mature in faith? Or, finally, will you cultivate a noble and a good heart? I use that word, will you cultivate a noble and good heart, because I don't think you have a good heart before you come to Jesus. I think your heart becomes good as you come to him. Will you cultivate a noble and good heart by hearing the word of God, retaining it, and by persevering, we have that word again, persevering, produce a crop? Let me tell you, my friends, this is not a fairy tale, it is a parable. And we are talking about the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God. So, my friends, I appeal to you, receive the word of God today. Receive Jesus today. Because he loves you, please receive him. Amen.